Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast on this bright Monday winter's morning. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm with Sports Desk, Pete Raven and Paddy Davitt to talk over Norwich City's 4-5 defeat at home to Liverpool at Carrow Road. A game for the ages, one we will talk about for years to come. It was such an entertaining spectacle. We all enjoyed it so much. What an occasion to revel in the entertainment of the Premier League, Pete.
Well, I was at Southampton game 22 years ago at Carrow Road, and that was 5-4, and that still sticks in the throat, and this will for another 22 years. At least on that occasion, it was Matt Le Tissier being Matt Le Tissier. This was just diabolical. Sometimes you just want to laugh.
Yes, I think we're almost getting to the laughing stage, I suppose. Well, were Norwich 3-1 up in that one?
No, I don't think so. I'll have to check. But that was a different sort of 5-4, if there is such a thing.
I think we'll be able to laugh about Saturday's game entirely dependent on the context of the rest of the season from here, Paddy. Have you got some words to describe what happened on Saturday?
Calamitous. Certainly, I'll tell you there's one word I don't like. I have seen thriller. It's not a 5-4 thriller when you're on the wrong end of it. Sickener is what it is. But I suppose from a neutral perspective, they'll have been lapping that up. Norwich are the great entertainers. I don't think it's done their chances of being on the TV any harm between now and the end of the season. But clearly that's not what we're concerned about. And what we're concerned about is if they continue to defend. Well, they didn't defend, did they? Let's be honest. If they continue to part as they did so pliably, then you don't want to be overly doom and gloom, but they're going to the Championship if they defend like that. So, but there's reason to be cheerful. Notably, a €10 million defender on the bench. So, but it's hardly an easy one to bounce back on in 10 days. Tottenham, I think they're as good as most teams in the league at the minute. So, but really, it's not who they play now between now and the end of the season. It's about Norwich and if they can put their house in order. And it wasn't as if even in that game for over an hour they were well in it and should have gone on to win. So you're not looking for complete strands of optimism because there were plenty there. They just have this capacity to implode and self-destruct.
Indeed, and I think it just seems like we're a bit back where we were with Newcastle. I know the situation is slightly different, but the way they were so open in the last phase of the game and the impact that then had on Norwich over the sort of ensuing weeks. I know that the West Brom defeat followed it as well, but I hope we're not going to have to try and learn the same lessons again, and all of a sudden in a couple of weeks' time we're going to be playing five at the back and hanging, hanging on from the start. We've got lots to dissect, so let's get through all the defensive issues first then, shall we? It was Russell Martin and Sebastian Bessong at the heart of the defence on Saturday. We had Ivo Pinto making his debut at right back, and Robbie Brady continuing at left back. Tim Closer on the bench, no Ryan Bennett, and obviously everything that happened. Pete, now after the event, do you want to give us some hindsight?
I think it was a case of the midfield was just as much as the defence, as like we were just saying earlier before the start. Why isn't Malumbo in? It's that sort of defensive cover in front of the back four. You can't all lay the blame on Russell Martin being a centre back because he isn't.
Alex Tetti was ill, which is why he didn't feature. Obviously, yeah. Gary O'Neill still got a game to go with his suspension too.
It was just Dorans didn't seem the right choice, and that coupled with playing Russell at centre back, and we have this argument every week: he's not a centre back, and Brady isn't a left back. It's those positions, but it's again you don't want to come away from just blaming it on one or two, because most of the goals, I think you can put half the team at fault for it.
We'll probably get back onto the centre back thing in a minute, but if I was to run through the goals, Pad, I'd probably say the first one, it certainly wasn't helped by Nathan Redmond not closing Moreno long before the ball ends up in the box. I've got to try and remember what they all are now. The second one, no one tracks Jordan Henderson, most likely Dorans, I would say, because Henderson came from sort of fairly deep where he was playing in midfield. The third one, Ivo Pinto gets kind of caught out of position, and then it is a massive gap behind Russell Martin for Firmino when the ball ends up at the break. Fourth, Russell Martin's pass back is a shocker, obviously, and the fifth, you know, Brady's clearance, but also more for me, Matt Jarvis allowing Adam Lallana just to wander off the back of him at the edge of the box. But so, I mean, that's kind of the collective issues, isn't it? It's all over the place.
Well, I think you've picked out at least five, maybe six different names there. So, you know, the berating of Russell Martin, I think, needs to be put in context. His was probably the biggest howler, but all of those goals, yeah, there was individual culpability, and that's what makes it more worrying, that it isn't just okay, let's get Russell Martin out of that team and everything will be rosy and put Tim Closer in. It's more than that. There just seems to be this collective amnesia that these lads, experienced lads, you know, Matt Jarvis, how many games has he played? You know, Seb Basson, Pinto you can excuse because it was the first game in the Premier League, and you know, it's going to take him time to adapt, but you know, there's no, we're getting to the state where, you know, we can't keep 23 games in continuing to say they're learning the ropes and you know, they're adapting to life in the Premier League. We're now two thirds of the way through this campaign and they're still making the same old mistakes. So ultimately players keep, and we had this very early in the season, Alex Neil said if the same players keep making the same mistakes they will come out of the team. Unfortunately, he brought them out of the team, he's put others in, and the results haven't, by and large, that pre-festive spurt, the results haven't really been consistently positive. So, you know, they've done a bit of business in the market. I don't think they're probably going to do too much more, so it is going to be this group who basically keep Norwich above the water or send them back to the Championship. So I would suggest this period now between where we are today, speaking here Monday morning, and Tottenham next Tuesday week, biggest of the season now, and it won't be what happens on the pitch, it'll be what happens at Colney between now and then on the training fields, because Alex Neil needs to get a grip of it and he needs to get what he feels is his right team in the right positions, not square pegs in round holes, and then let's just kick on, because at the minute, you know, he has to, some questions to answer, and it's probably the first time he would have said that. I would suggest, you know, as much as the players are culpable, he's the one who's put Russell Martin in at centre back. He's the one who continues to believe Robbie Brady is a better left back. So Graham Dorans, he seems to have plenty of faith in him. Questions are being asked.
Completely agree with all that. As I said, alongside the fact that, you know, you're missing a defensive midfielder and you don't pick Yusuf Malumbu. It's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, we like to think that players, you know, will learn lessons and then they will improve. But if they don't improve and they don't learn their lessons, do you just accept they're not good enough? Because some of these defenders, they were here 2-3 years ago when Norwich were relegated from the Premier League.
Exactly. I think that's one of the main points, is the fact that we started the season with the same defence that went down, and it's only now that they're looking at it with these, with Pinto and Closer. This should have been done in the summer. As to whether they've learnt their lessons or not, it's quite obvious they haven't. Five times on Saturday.
Yeah. Ryan Bennett not in the 18 at all. I mean, we clearly wouldn't necessarily say he's the...
Dropped, or was it something to do with his wife is expecting a baby? Was that all rumour?
I believe there was a tweet from his sister, Ryan Bennett's sister, I think that's right, who said his wife is not due for another 3 weeks, although I can vouch for the fact that when something is due, it's completely irrelevant.
And if that was the case, Alex Neil would have told you boys, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think it was pretty clear. It was just a selection issue, wasn't it, Pat? I think in the end. So you know, the Bennett situation is one thing. I don't know if there's much more we can say on it, really. But goalkeeper. Now, Declan Rudd was quite exposed for those, but, you know, a few people tweeting me, and I've got kind of struggled to disagree that maybe there just wasn't the presence there, but is it hard to have presence if you're a goalkeeper who's exposed 12 yards out with a striker? I mean, do Norwich have a issue with this going forward, or is Deck still deserving of more time?
No, I don't think that's fair to you know, suggest that he was at fault with any of those goals. I remember distinctly there was two or three times against Arsenal down here where he raced out of his line, and it was Everton, wasn't it, with not Lukaku, the other guy, Aruna Kone down the left hand side. So, you know, he can come out and make those smothering blocks. He made a great block, what was that game recently, where Southampton, Shane Long, he came out and shut the door on him. So I just think you have to say it was one of those very well taken goals from Firmino, James Milner, to me, that isn't a weak spot in his game, because, as I say, I've just reeled off a few examples there where he was more than, you know, sufficiently good enough in those one-on-one duels. I would look squarely at the guys in front of him. But it does, what I would say is, yeah, a young man who's now letting 11 league goals in the last three games, that's not going to help his confidence in any shape or form. So what you don't want now is him to start making ricks, you know, individual ricks that are squarely at his door, because then that gives us another issue, or gives the manager another issue.
Don't need another issue, most definitely. I thought it was interesting with Russell Martin's back pass. You could see Deck coming, and then he went, no. And I, to be honest, I don't think he'd have ever got there anyway. But of course, we are now talking about post-Bournemouth, where he was a little bit fortunate, perhaps, not to be serving a suspension at the moment anyway. Before we get on all the positives, let's hear from Stephen Naismith. God, that's almost like it was deliberate. And Alec Neil.
It's disappointed, obviously, with losing the game when we weren't comfortably in front. It's very disappointing, and that's the feeling at the moment. But I think when we look over the video next week, there is some positives to take with the goals and how we played, especially in the first half. The other points are obviously defending as a team. We weren't good enough today, and that's what's cost us. No, I think if we had a bit more communication within the team, then we maybe hold that 3-1 lead longer, which then makes a bit more nervous for Liverpool, and the game's totally different from then. But that wasn't the case, and that's probably the biggest thing we will be disappointed with. And a lot of people will look at the defence, but it's the whole way through the team. They pass the ball through is far too easy at times, and that's something as a team we need to improve on if we want to pick up good results.
I think we made a really good performance up until about 60 odd minutes. Become just all round a real poor day for us. You know, I think we've done exactly what we set out to do for the first 60 minutes. Thought we looked dangerous. I thought we defended reasonably well. And then from then on, we just sort of lost our composure and our decision making. Particularly at the back, was extremely poor, and just literally just cost ourselves the game. We're comfortable and nothing changes. You know, the system didn't change, the personnel didn't change, the way we went about the game wasn't going to change. It's just about making good decisions at vital times in the game, and not letting what happens around you affect you, and making sure that you go and just sort of see the game and be professional, you know. And we didn't do it well enough, and we made some real, real poor decisions, and ultimately cost us all again. The fact is, Benteke, I didn't think he was going to play, and I was right. Firmino played, and I think Russell sort of dropped into the holes with Firmino. He's ideally suited. I think Russell's use of the ball is good, and he can step into the game. And the one thing I'll say for 65 minutes, that was the case. Benteke then came on later on in the game, but he didn't score any of the goals. I mean, he didn't cause us any major problems. It wasn't as if they were lumping it in and winning headers. We just made poor decisions. Just ultimately cost us all the game. Russell Martin can't be used as a scapegoat for this game. I mean, we attack and we defend as a team. It's as simple as that. And we didn't defend well as a team. Do I mean? But we got ourselves in a position where we're 3-1 up. We defended well to that point. The talk at half time was the fact that we're in control of the game. What you do now is you play clever, you play smart, drop yourself back in, hit them the counter attack. No need for us to go gung ho at all. We go 3-1 up, thinking even better. Now we play with our brains, just settle the game down. And pretty much for kickoff, they go and get a second goal. And from that point on, we just looked as if our decision making for some there, particularly in the back line areas, was just extremely poor.
So, positives. Pete, do you want to list some?
Like you've just said, Naismith is the biggest plus from that. I thought Harrison had a decent game. And Bukani got battered about and did his job well, and well taken goal as well, along with the nutmeg. But no, Naismith for me, he's just a nuisance, isn't he?
Yeah, Norwich did look very good going forward. They scored 4 goals. And they're all pretty good goals. Is that at the expense of how they're playing defensively, or are the two completely unrelated, do you reckon, Pat?
No, I think we had this kind of over the festive period where he was intimating that, as you rightly said there, he almost went, after Newcastle, he went too far the other end of the scale, and they were too defensive, and didn't have that offensive capability, and then he kind of got the balance right. So again, it's just about getting the balance right. I think for me it's all about Tete, and the worry is he's inevitably going to get a 2-game ban, so he's because he's one booking away from a suspension. So unfortunately you're going to be missing him for 2 games through his misdemeanours. But if you have him in that side screening, then I think it's a different game entirely. But it looked, no, I was quite encouraged with the link up with Wes as well. Maybe more so at Carrow Road you could go that way, but two very clever footballers on the same wavelength, and Norwich will create chances with them in the side. But as sadly was proven on Saturday, if they don't keep the other end shut, they'll lose games.
Yeah, it's lovely movements. He sort of glides, Stephen Naismith, which I like. I mean, it must be said, Liverpool's defending wasn't much better on occasions on Saturday. I suppose at least if Tete serves his ban whenever it is forthcoming. I had to check whether he was actually banned for Saturday just to make sure I hadn't missed it. But at least when that happens, Gary O'Neill will be back and available, because I'm convinced if him or Tete are playing, Henderson doesn't score immediately after Norwich go 3-1 up, and maybe things are a little bit different from there. We should probably talk about the penalty. The penalty, a horrendous tackle by...
Twice
by Moreno. The first challenge, he wasn't much better than Gary O'Neill's, was it, a couple of weeks ago?
Well, we've got a picture on the system, haven't we, of him flying through the air, 2 feet in the air behind him, nowhere near the ball, and then the ref doesn't give that one, and then he has another chop at him and gives it for that one. They can't have any complaints over that. The Naismith one in the first half, I don't know, was it more than a shove, or...
I suppose if you're giving that, you probably have to give when Seb pulls Firmino's shirt, don't you? So it gets a bit touch and go. Wes's penalty, I mean, you can say it's never a bad penalty if it goes in, but that's probably about as close to a bad penalty as you can get when they're going in, I suppose. But there we go. I mean, how do you see the picture at the bottom, Pad? Are you starting to pay attention to the table now? Or?
God, yeah. If you're not, you're a braver man than me. But combined with Swansea, unfortunately, getting the new manager bounce and winning at Everton, you just feel Newcastle will get themselves out by hook or by crook, more by accident than design probably, with the soap opera up there. And then Allardyce and Sunderland is always a concern. So, yep, they're firmly in it now. I'll just go back to what he said, I think it was after the Southampton game, where he basically said, right, we've got this month of January, this will now define if we're looking up and we're sort of targeting mid-table and beyond, or if we're in the teeth of a relegation battle. What's happened in the intervening period? They've gone out of the FA Cup, they've lost 3 on the bounce, they've conceded 11 goals, they're firmly in a relegation battle.
Yeah, this is as worried as I've been. More worried than I've been at any point this season, definitely.
Yeah, even the most positive Norwich fan can't expect a great deal against Spurs. No matter what happens on the training pitch between now and then, they're top size. I think most eyes are looking at Villa away, aren't they?
Wouldn't surprise me if they beat Spurs and then lose at Villa, to be honest. But as I said, I just can't see Newcastle and Sunderland finishing below Norwich. And that's the worry, because it was all right when Swansea were struggling and Bournemouth were stuttering. But Benikofobe scored again, didn't he, at the weekend? So we won't talk about that.
Yeah. Graham missed the sitter, didn't he? I've not seen it, but
I think that got picked up by a few Norwich fans. Yeah. Anyway, we better wrap this up, because we've got a Q&A to do, Pad. That's going to be so fun, isn't it? The fans are going to be on top form. Yeah, there'll be a hoot. So enjoy your prolonged break, because the next action is Spurs, which is on Tuesday week, 2nd of February. Before that, the transfer window comes to a close. Pad, what are Norwich going to do? There you go. There's a question here. Do you think they're going to do any more business?
Yeah, I think they will. I think they'll definitely do something loan-wise, because they've got the option. And I think they might try and get striker over the line. And I think we'll see the end of Kyle Lafferty's Norwich career. So, yeah, there's a few little bits and pieces yet to do. But as I said, to reiterate, their fate depends on the lads already in the building. And Liverpool wasn't a good start moving forward.
Do you think... Well, Alec Neil kind of answered this question. You don't think they'll do anything defensively?
No. He said no. He said more or less, well, given that he's just gone and brought in two lads who are in the Champions League this season, no, I don't think you're going to see any more defensive recruits.
Tommy Briceland passed away just before Saturday's game. The Norwich City Hall of Fame member, and I'm sure a lot of you Norwich fans have fond memories of his time in the yellow and green. Gary Hooper sold to Sheffield Wednesday. Would you like to sum up Gary Hooper's Norwich City career in a word, or a noise, or some sort of phrase, Pete?
I guess he just wasn't the right fit, was he, for that system? I mean, we know he's got goals in him, but I guess it's best for both parties that he's moved on, and I'm sure he'll score plenty for the Owls. So, not mention Pinto's debut.
I was just hoping for a bit more creativity with that, but never mind, that's fine. No, Pinto's debut, he looks like he can attack, Pad.
As opposed to defend.
I didn't say that. I mean, the thing is, like, I think you touched on it earlier, first game, and it's obviously had a couple of weeks to adjust. So I thought the signs were promising. Clearly, he's not quite there in terms of remaining in position, but I guess you'd forgive him for maybe getting a little bit tired, sort of 70 minutes into his Premier League debut. He looked like he was blowing a bit after about 20 minutes, to be honest, which you can imagine.
He did when Jordan Ibe squared him up and went past him, yeah. But thankfully, that was an isolated incident. In his defence, no pun intended, you're playing alongside those two centre-backs and Brady. He's probably thinking, what have I let myself in for here? But, Alex Neil needs to basically say now, these are my four best defenders, and barring injury and suspension, these are the ones I'm going with for the rest of the season. And he needs to make the right call, because they look like four strangers, basically, Saturday.
And the best four is?
Pinto, Closer, Bassong, Olsen.
Agree with that.
I think I would agree with that as well. Yep. And on that note, in agreement, let's put it to bed. Spurs on Tuesday, all the usual stuff, transfer deadline day, loads of stuff going on. We'll have Pete.
Yeah, I imagine we'll have live coverage on deadline day, unless Norwich wrap it up before then and say they've no more business. But could be Lafferty watch, couldn't it?
Could be Lafferty watch. How exciting. And me and Pat will be on Twitter, you know where we are on there, and we'll take you all through that, and then we'll see you at Carrow Road, metaphorically speaking, for Tottenham. All right then, gents, thank you very much. Thanks all for listening. Take it easy. Have a nice little break over a few days, and we'll see you soon. Bye for now.